The trials of this world, the world getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear, and I was on
soul tonight, and come and feed us from the bread of life tonight. Amen. That's, I know, everyone's desire here that would be gathered tonight. You know, you could be doing many other things tonight. I could be doing many other things tonight, but yet there's something inside of a bride still today that says, I've got to go hear what God has for me. Amen. And there's something about coming to the house of God that is just so special. And you know, we should be thankful that we have that deep within us that's calling, saying, I've got to go to the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. If we could, let's bow our hearts this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, Father, Lord, and we want to hear from you tonight, Father. Lord, we don't want to hear what man would have to say, dear God, but Lord, we want you to come by, Father, and Lord, to begin to walk up and down the corridors of every heart that's represented tonight, Father. Lord, we have needs amongst us, Father, and Lord, I know, dear God, that, Lord, you prepared something special for every person here tonight, dear God, and Lord, we come, Father, with a spirit of expectancy, dear God, and Lord, we ask you, dear God, to come, Lord, and Lord, to feed us, Father, and break the bread of life to our hearts tonight, Father, and Lord, I ask you, dear God, that, Lord, you would be free, Father, amongst us, dear God. Lord, we invite you into our presence now, dear God. And yes. Lord, we know you're here, dear God, because, Lord, we brought you with us, dear God. And Lord, you said where two or three are gathered, Father, there you Savior and be in their midst, Father. And Lord, we know that, Lord, you cannot lie tonight, dear God. And Lord, we ask, Father, that, Lord, we want to just take, Father, and we want to release you, Father, in their midst tonight, Father. That, Lord, you could come, Father. Lord, you can minister to every need, Father. Lord, I have no idea, Father, what there's a congregation would need tonight, Father. But Lord, you know, dear God. And Lord, we're resting in you tonight, Father, to come, dear God. And Lord, to reveal, Father, to us that we have need of, Father. Now, Lord, I ask that you would just come, Father, and we take every spirit that would be contrary to your word tonight under the subjection of your word, dear God. Lord, and we thank you for these things. Yes. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Would you turn with us in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 42? I want to say it's a privilege and an honor to be with you tonight. We really look forward to coming, and you know, you all are just kind of part of us, you know, down here. And I was telling my wife last night, you know, I believe it was last night. It might have been, I've lost track of time, but it was one of these nights this week. And I was telling her, you know, that I'm really looking forward to coming down here, you know, because I can just slide right into this congregation and be comfortable.
Amen.
I can be just part of you. I can be one of you. And I really appreciate that, and appreciate that spirit, that welcoming spirit, you know, that we feel whenever we come here. And appreciate Brother Tony and the hospitality that he shows to us. And just really appreciate each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Psalms chapter 42, verse 1. I'd like to speak to you tonight on a simple thought on my soul thirsteth after thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. Verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? God bless you. You can have your seats tonight for just a little while. We'll try not to hold you long tonight. I know there's something going on tonight, and we'll try to be mindful of those things and not hold you long, but yet be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I begin to look at this thought tonight, my soul thirsteth after thee, I begin to think, you know, how that in this dark day of Laodicea, how that you're beginning to see what is this Laodicea? It's a spirit of lukewarmness. And you begin to watch that come into the church, and you begin to watch that settle in on the people. Why? Because you are living in Laodicea. Amen. Everybody here is affected by that spirit. And
that's right.
You begin to deal with those things, and I begin to think, you know, there was something here just a few years ago. It seemed like there was such a revival that had broke loose, and it seemed like people was just so on fire for God. And nowadays it seems like they've lost their zeal. They've lost their want to. They've lost their fire that they once had. And I begin to think, you know, that's really just a shame. That's a pity that we as the bride of Jesus Christ don't have no more joy than that, you know. And I begin to think we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Why? Because you and I have the revealed word of Christ. Amen. We have the pure and unadulterated word. Amen. You say, well, they're trying to disprove it here, and they're trying to disprove it there. Yes, and that devil is still alive today. He's been alive since the beginning of the earth. Amen. He's that devil of deception. What did he do? He came to Eve. Why? What did he do? He deceived Eve. What did he do? He didn't totally make it alive, but he just turned one measly word. It wasn't a complete lie.
Right. That's exactly right.
It wasn't a complete lie. He didn't just come in there and say, ta-da, I'm here.
Right.
But he came and he made it sound scriptural. He made it sound biblical. He made it seem that it was just so. He made it seem he crossed the T's and dotted the I. But yet he was lacking one thing. He said, surely thou shalt not. Surely it shall not. Amen. He didn't change. He just changed one word. But yet by changing one word, it became a total lie. Right? Amen?
Yes, that's right.
But I begin to think, you know, there's such a you know, there ought to be such a thirst inside of the bride today. You go around and you see these churches and you see these people that they don't have no joy and they don't have no peace and they don't have, what is it? They don't know God. You might as well put it out there. They don't know the God that I know, because He said that the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. He said that by His stripes I am healed. Hello? He said, by His stripes I am healed. So we live so glory, God given right. There ought to be something inside of you tonight that says, you know, I've got to have something from God and I'm thirsty for it. And you know, whenever somebody gets thirsty, what are they going to do? They're going to go get a drink. They're going to go do something to get to receive a satisfaction. Amen. They're going to have to do something. Now, if I'm thirsty, and I stay sitting in my chair and I don't do nothing to go get a drink of water, then I'm going to remain thirsty. But yet it requires me, as one that is requiring water, it requires me to get out of my chair and to go do something to receive the water. Amen. I've got to get out and I've got to go do something. You say, Ben, you're preaching that we've got to do it. No, we don't have to do nothing. But inside of you, there ought to be something that says, God, I want to worship You. God, I need You. God, I want to feel You. And I begin to think, you know, as I was looking at this, when was the last time we felt God move in our service? Come on now. When was the last time that we really felt God sat down in the pew right next to us? And really felt Him. You say, Ben, we're beyond those things. No, that's a bunch of nonsense. If you don't feel God, you have a dead religion. If you don't, I'm telling you, wherever God was, there was always an emotion. Come on, somebody. Wherever God was, there was a stir, there was a row, there was a roar. Amen. What was it? The people was loud. There was something happening in the camp. Why? Because God was there. I don't want a God that sits in a corner somewhere, but I want God to come and to feed my thirsty soul, because I want to feel Him.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I want to feel God. Is that all right?
Amen.
I believe I can. I believe I can feel God.
Amen.
I want to feel God. I don't want to just walk through a church service and just feel like I've done my duty and I went to church.
Right.
But I want to walk into a church service and I want to feel God.
Amen.
Amen. Because whenever you walk in, there ought to be such a welcoming presence of the Holy Ghost that you can walk in. We have a brother that's just started attending our local assembly there. And he came in, and he's been a friend of mine for years, a long time. And him and I, we worked together for years. And you know, we would talk and we would do these things together. And we would do our daily activities together. Now, I never pushed myself on him, ever. But I simply tried to live in such a way that I was salty. I simply lived in such a way to where he wanted what I had. Amen. And I begin to think, how many people would want what you have?
Yeah. Right.
Huh?
Right.
How many? What kind of life do we live? What? How many people would want what we really have?
Right.
We look the part, we talk the part, we dress the part, but yet, do we live the part? We might look good on Wednesday. We might look good on Saturday night or Sunday morning. But what do we look like out there whenever we shut the door to this local assembly?
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
What do we look like out there? Now, if I was to come out here and make a surprise drop in on Brother Daniel, I know what I would find, but he's the guinea pig tonight. Now, if I was to make a peek-a-boo in here, stop in on him, what would I find in Brother Daniel? Now you say, Brother Daniel is who he is when he's not here.
Right.
When Brother Daniel's driving in his car by himself, that's who he is.
Yeah.
That's the real him. And I'm asking you, and I wonder tonight, you know, if I was to just show up, what would I find?
He looks good sitting back. He don't really look good, but he's sitting back there. He's sitting back there. Don't look good. And God bless his heart. I'm just playing. But he's sitting back there. Everything looks good. Everything looks like he's got it under control. He's got it in order. But yet, nobody can see who he is except God. Right? But I begin to deal with this young boy. And, well, I say young boy, he's 25 years old. He's just a little younger than I am. And I begin to deal with him, and I've dealt with him for a long time. And finally one day he came to me, and I mean, everything was a mess. And he was talking as far as financially, everything was a mess for him. And he began to talk to me, and I looked at him, and I just realized I had a serious conversation with him. Because he wasn't going to church. He had a church that he said was church. It was a Baptist church, and that's fine. You know, I wasn't trying to pull him from the Baptist. You know, that's fine. You know, we want to get people to a message instead of get them to God first. Woo! You know, you can't do that. I can go out here on the street and I can pull any person. I can pull the drunkard off the out of the alley. I can pull the prostitute off of the corner, and I can say, you know what, Brother Branham said, and they're going to look at me like, yeah. So what? I had a conversation with some people one time as I was traveling, and there was a conversation that had came up, and there was a bunch of different ministers sitting around the table, and we all know that can be scary sometimes. But there was a bunch of different ministers sitting around the table, and I just sat there and I began to listen to them, and one of them was sitting there, and he said, "You realize that if they don't see," which I agree to this, I agree, "but if they don't see this message, then they're lost," which I agree. But his was saying that they've got to be able to see it immediately. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Brother Daniel, you didn't see it immediately, did you? Brother Tim, you didn't see it immediately, did you? But it was a working progress. Now, I could come up to them and they were saying, you know, outside of this message is death, which I agree. I agree. But yet, you can't approach a person outside in the nominal world, Brother Tony, with William Branham, because you realize what they're going to do. Right here. And they rightfully should. Rightfully so. Why? Because that is a different sound than they've ever heard. Rightfully so, they should raise that wall up. Why? Because you're approaching them with a man versus taking them first to Jesus Christ. You realize you've got to get them to Christ first and then let Christ take them on into a message. You've got to let Christ take them on into a message, because if I try to bring this message into them, then that's exactly what it'll be. Been bred it into them.
That's right.
Been taught it to them. Huh? Been taught it. They've seen it intellectually. Anybody can read. Anybody can understand it intellectually.
Yeah.
You can read this Bible and you can understand it intellectually. But yet by divine revelation, until that becomes divine revelation, you will be pulled away.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Huh?
Right.
You will be pulled away. Why? Because there is no... What is it? It's a man that has pulled you in. Huh? You've got a lot of preachers that were called by man. What's wrong with message pulpits today? They've got a lot of men in them that are called by man.
Right.
Huh? That's right. Why such a mess? And we could get into that, but we won't. Why such a mess? Because they never ever went on into the revelation of Christ. They never stepped on into the revelation of who Christ really is. Amen? But I begin to deal with him, and he said, "Ben, it's a mess." And I looked at him when he was driving down the road to a job, and I looked at him and I said, "Well," I said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, and I'm not condemning you. I said, don't think that I am. You know, you've got to approach people in such a way. There's an approach to everything. Now you approach me in a certain way, and that will determine whether or not I'm going to listen to you in your approach. But I approached him and I said, now I'm not condemning you, but I said, let me ask you a real honest question. Now remember, we're dealing with his finances, okay?
Yeah.
I said, let me ask you a real honest question. I said, when's the last time that you paid your tithe?
Ooh, don't say the tithe word.
You want to be blessed, you'll pay your tithe. Oh, I'm a first-hand witness of that. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, don't want another one. I'm telling you right now, whenever it's upon your increase, not just... You know, you can, Lord have mercy. You can, there's so many ways to justify it. You can say, well, that was a gift. I didn't go out and earn that money. Okay, maybe you didn't go out and earn that money, but is it an increase to you?
Right.
Okay, somebody gives me $400, okay. Brother Daniel, tonight, I want my $400 when I walk out of here. Okay? He's going to give me $400 tonight as a gift. Now, I can take that $400 and I can say, well, bless God. God blessed me. Or I could take that $400 and whenever we do that, we want to say, well, that's a gift. That don't count. No, it very much counts. Why? Because it was an increase to you. And I began to deal with him and I said, when's the last time that you paid your tithes? He goes, well, I had the money to pay my tithes. And I went, huh. I said, no, I'm not condemning you one bit. I said, I'm just telling you and being honest with you, okay? He goes, good, this is what I need. I said, whenever we get a paycheck, I said, the first thing that comes right off of the top is my tithe. I said, and everything else, my tithes and offerings. I said, now an offering is something that you give and above to that increase. I said, the offering will go to the keeping the light bill on and keeping the lights on and the water running. I said, because you got to understand, we're dealing with, you say, Ben, this is totally elementary to us. Yeah, I understand that, but we're dealing with somebody that really doesn't know. We're dealing with somebody that really doesn't know. But I begin to deal with him and I told him and I said, you know, you take that first and foremost. Well, let me tell you something. I begin to deal with him and I begin to deal with him on an aspect of I said, Keith, because then we went from that to I can't find peace. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere. The financial thing will take care of itself. But whenever he said, I can't find peace. Then he opened up a door for me to introduce peace to him. Huh? Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Opened up a door and I looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you this, Keith. I said, whenever you're dealing, I said, what you've got to take and you've got to go find a church. I said, it doesn't have to be my church. It doesn't have to be this church or that church. I said, you go find the church. Now, Brother Branham said that too. Brother Adam said, you just go find a church and you support it. Huh? He didn't say it had to be a message church.
Right. Amen.
Okay, moving on. He didn't say it had to be a message church. But I said, you go find a church. I said, if that be the church you've been going to, I said, you go support it with everything that you have. I said, and you pay your tithes to that church with everything that you have. I said, and I'll guarantee you that if you're obedient to God's word, he has to turn it around.
Right.
Well, the very next service, guess who shows up? This young man. And he's been showing up ever since. He has started paying his tithes, and we're watching that begin to turn around, and things are beginning to line back up. And I asked him just the other day, I said, so how's it going? He said, you know, it's going great. I said, whenever you come, whenever you go and you take God and His Word, God will meet you there every time. And I begin to think, you know, there was something in the side of that young man that was thirsting and desiring after God. And he began to do something. He finally said, you know what? I'm tired of being a mediocre Christian. I'm tired of living a lukewarm life. But I got to do something. I've got to find God somewhere. And we begin to deal with him. And what did he do? Desperation pressed him to God. Desperation brought him into God and opened up the door. Why? Because he was looking. He was thirsting after Christ. And where there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond to that. If you've got a desire to have more of God today, I'm telling you that there, where there's a deep calling, there's got to be a deep to respond. If there's a desire inside of you to live a Christian life in front of others, where there's a deep calling, there's got to be a deep to respond. Somewhere my mind goes back to that elk up on the mountaintop. He lets out a bugle, and then down in the valley, another elk begins to bugle back. Why did he let that one out on top? Because he knew that somewhere out there, there was something that identified with him.
Amen.
There was something that identified with who he really was. And he began to cry out. And just because he cried out, something had to respond to it. Why? What was it? Oh my, that Christian begins to cry out, God, I need more of you. And then all of a sudden, God opens the floodgates of heaven and he begins to deal with you. He begins to deal with your situation and your struggle and your heartache and your depression.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And your hatred. He begins to deal with those things. Why? Because there's a deep calling out saying, God, I need more of you. God, I want to feel you.
Amen.
I don't want to walk into a dead church.
Right.
I don't want to walk into the frozen chosen. You know, anything without life in it is dead.
Right.
I can shoot a deer, and whenever I walk up to that thing and I kick it, it don't move. Why? Because it's dead. The spirit's out of it. It's gone.
That's right.
A lot of churches today need a good swift kick. Huh? See if there's any ouch in them.
Yeah.
See if there's any, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
What is it? They become so complacent in their ways.
Right.
They become so comfortable with God sent a prophet.
Right.
Maybe he did send a prophet, but did he send him to you? I want to know, did he send him to you?
Amen.
Yeah, bless God, Brother Ben, he did. Amen. Well, why don't you tell your face about it? Why don't you tell your face that you're happy?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
brother. Well, we wonder why that we don't feel God amongst us. But yet, you realize that in order to feel God, there's got to be something done. There's got to be a sacrifice made. We want God to go 100% of the way. That's right. We want God to go 100% of the way. And we don't want to go anywhere. We want God to simply come to us. But God didn't set it up that way. He didn't set it up that way. That woman with the issue of blood, what happened? It didn't say that God went to her.
Right.
It didn't say that. You can't make it say that. I realize you never went looking for God. God came looking for you. I realize that. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying there was a woman with a need. And she said, I'm tired of it. And she pressed through the crowd. She done something. Amen? Why? Because there was something inside we're calling out. That I've got to have more of God. I need something from this man that's walking by. And there's only one way to get it. Why? Because he wasn't going to stop. He wasn't. He was not going to stop unless she stopped him. He wouldn't. But yet he said, virtue has gone out of me. that strength. Yeah. Now, whenever somebody touches the hem of his garment with faith, that causes virtue to come out of him. That causes strength to come out of God and into you. Hello? That strength's got to go somewhere. It's got to. What happened? He said, virtue has gone out of me. You say, Ben, prove that. Okay, I'm going to. He said, virtue has gone out of me. Now he turned around and he looked at her, and before she touched him, she had an issue of blood. But once she touched him, see, there was something that went out of him and into her. Strength. Virtue. And he turned around and he looked and he said, virtue has gone out of me. Why? Because she touched him in a different way than anybody else in that crowd. Because she touched him on the basis of faith. She didn't say, well, how are you going to do this? She didn't say, now, Brother Tony, she didn't walk up to him and say, I know that they say you can do it, but I want you to explain to me how you're going to do it. No, she didn't go to it with doing with an intellectual faith. Huh? But she went to him with pure faith. There's a difference between intellectual faith and pure faith. Now you've got people leaving this message over intellectual faith.
That's right.
He's a devil.
That's right.
Same devil here as he is there. You got people leaving this message over an intellectual faith. It's causing a great falling away. And we realize that we're in the last days and there's got to be those things. It's prophesied.
Right.
It's prophesied that it's going to happen. It's prophesied that it has to happen. Amen? And there's something, and people are so shook up about that. They're so shook up that people are doing this, but yet there's something inside of the true bride that says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Right.
But they, you got people, you realize that the devil of deception is going through so rampant now. It's turned loose. The gates of hell is turned loose on this bride. You realize that we're coming down to the end. You say, you realize that this message has kind of flew under the radar for many, 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 many years. Now, we're talking about after this bride is gone, this place will be nothing but, this place will be a godless place. Amen. Why? Because God dwells inside of His bride. Amen. So if the bride's gone, this place will have no God.
Amen.
Amen. And what a rule. It'll be the imaginations of man.
That's right.
It'll be the imaginations of man. And man, by nature, is cruel.
Amen.
You say, Ben, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm just laying it out here. Man by nature is cruel. And I begin to think one day, you realize that Brother Tony, we've really lived under the radar. We've not had a lot of attention drawn to us. But now you realize that there is such a spotlight on this message of this hour, right now. More so than any other time
right.
in history. Why? Because of social media. Because of technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to come.
Right.
It has to come. And we realize that the persecution, it's not going to be out there. You're not going to feel the squeeze from out there, but you're going to feel it from within.
That's right.
It's not going to be your Baptist brother that gives you up. Well, amen, Brother Ben. It's not going to be your Baptist brother that gives you up, but it'll be somebody that's sitting in that same pew right beside you. You say, well, I'm not going to be here. I hope that's your attitude. That would be the right attitude. But it's not going to be. You know, we don't know what we're going to see.
Right.
We don't. You know, people can say that they know all of this stuff. That's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of baloney. Because, you know, no man, anybody that tells you he knows it all, well, he's lost.
Yeah.
Because he don't know it all and neither does anybody else. I don't know what we'll see. I don't know what you'll see. But I do know that God has to take His bride out of here. I do know that. I don't know why I'm here, but I am. I do know that the bride is going to be caught away. Amen. But I don't know what I'll see before that.
That's right.
I don't know how much I'll see, Brother Tony. I don't know if I'll have food on my table. I don't know. I don't know. But you realize that there's such a spotlight on you that you no longer have the luxury of being under the radar. But you are very much front and center now.
Right.
You're in front of the government.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that deal that went through Happy Valley? Anybody hear about that?
Yeah.
How about that deal? What kind of a spotlight did that bring on this bride? She was under the gun. She was under the scope. Now they're out there, you know, I believe the sign, or more properly named would be disbelieve the sign.
Right.
They're out there now with all this trash, putting out the rhetoric. Come on, somebody. Putting out the rhetoric and saying, well, it was wrong here or it was wrong there. Well, they said Jesus was wrong, so what do you say to that?
That's what they said.
The Pharisees came to Jesus and said, you cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub. This has nothing to do with our preaching tonight, but hear him.
Amen.
Said, you cast out devils in the name of Beelzebub. And Jesus turned around and looked at him, Brother Tony, and he said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, it'll surely fall. How can Satan cast out Satan? And they want to say that this message is a demonic power. Am I all right?
Amen.
They want to say that this message is a demonic power that Brother Branham was under. Okay, let's analyze that a minute. Now, Jesus Christ himself said that Satan could not cast out Satan. With that being said, we have no reason to disbelieve Jesus, now do we?
Right.
Okay. Now, whenever a patient would come across the platform with cancer, come on now. Whenever a patient would come across the platform with cancer, and William Brown would lay his hands on him, he would say, hey, your sister so-and-so, you live here, you've done this, this, and this, and this is what's wrong with you. And then he would cast that devil out. I want to ask you how the devil done that. Because we all know that this cancer is a what? Devil.
Right. Amen.
Okay. So now if Jesus said that Satan can't cast out Satan, what done that?
Right.
What done that? But they want to disprove it. What is it? They're living on an intellectual faith. They're coming down and they're living. You realize that now he's taken the ministry even. Then he has taken even the ministry and turned the ministry. Great men. Or what we would call great.
Right.
What we would say was great ministers. Men that had a lot of influence, right?
Right.
And one of them said that, I heard him say that he followed the message for the signs and the wonders. And he was a pastor. They didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You say, who are you, Ben, to say that? Well, Bible said, by their fruit ye shall what? Know them.
Right.
A pastor. And we wonder where we're at. I'm telling you where you're at. You're at the closing of time.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're at the closing of time. And if there's ever a time that you ought to be desperate, it's now. If there's ever a time to say, God, I need more of you, it's now.
Amen.
God, I don't want you yesterday. I don't want you tomorrow, but I need you now. Right now.
Amen.
But he says, I followed the message for the signs and the wonders. And my first thought was, well, there's your problem.
That's exactly right.
It made you have one of them, hello, dummy moments. You know what I mean? It did. There was his problem. Why? Because he was looking unto a man.
That's right.
Huh? Now, you've got people that have taken the man and they have elevated him up to here.
Right. Right.
If I get out of line here, you let me know. But they've taken and they've elevated him up to here. And they've made him a god.
Right. That's right.
That's what they've made him.
whenever William Branham was just as human as this man sitting right here.
Amen.
Or this man right here that had faults and had mistakes and had failures and misquoted.
Right.
And then you have the other side of the spectrum that wants to take every word that he said as thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Huh? You have the other side that once says you believe every word, or you don't believe none of it. Okay. So whenever he took that 22 out there and was going to kill them boys, that was of God.
Right.
Make that thus saith the Lord.
Right.
That was showing the man in Elijah that was in Elijah whenever he called out the she-bears.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
But yet, see, they can't define. They can't understand. Why? Because they don't have the eyes to see. They're looking, they're saying, well, it failed. Did it? Did it? How do you know it failed? Who are you to say that it failed? Because there's things revealed to the prophets that will never be revealed to you and I on this earth. How many times did Brother Branham say, there were things that I could not say? I'm paraphrasing, I know.
Yes.
How many times did he say that? How many times did he come across the pulpit? And this is different, but that's okay. How many times did he come across the pulpit and say that?
Right.
He looked at John, and the angel said unto John, those things that you've seen, seal them up. And speak them not. Or write them not. One or the other, my mind went from me there, but you'll get the point.
Yeah.
Why? Showing that there was things, there was something obviously revealed to John, but yet nobody else knew.
Right?
They say disprove it, I say prove it. You realize that they say prove it, and I say disprove it, rather. Got that backwards. But they're trying to, they're working so hard at disproving this thing. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And this is, we're talking people that are very close to us.
Yes.
Personally. That have walked away. People, I've got family that has walked away. Am I to say they're lost? No. I'm not to say that. Because I believe that God is able to bring them back. I do. I believe that God is more than able to save them in their sin sick soul and their sin sick soul than as He is to me.
Right.
Amen. I believe He's still able. You say, well, then they left the Word. Maybe. But maybe they're just out working on a testimony too.
Right. Amen.
I can look at it however I want. And so can you. Brother Brown said, your mental attitude, the right mental attitude toward any promise of God would what? Bring it to pass.
Right.
And the Word says, train up a child in the way that it should go. And when it is old, that child should not what? Depart from it. So I have a choice. I can take the mental attitude of, this is what they're doing. This is what I see with my eyeballs. Or I can say, God said that if I train them up in the way that they should go, that whenever they're old, they shall not depart from it. Now,
amen.
What kind of mental attitude are you going to take? Amen? You know, we know all of these things, but sometimes we have to be reminded. You realize that's all a preacher does?
Yeah.
All I ever do is I remind everybody all the time. All the time. I'm not out here preaching to you anything that you ain't heard. And if I am, you ought to run me out of here. I'm not preaching to you anything that you've not heard. But I'm preaching to you things that have already been taught and been brought forth. But yet man has a tendency to forget.
Amen.
And then a minister has to come by and say, you remember where he said this. Right? Let's look at David just for a few minutes. My goodness. Can you turn that clock back a little bit?
Crazy.
verse 2, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Now, he wasn't searching for just a God.
Right, right.
David speaking here, he wasn't searching for just a God, but he was searching for the living God. Now, people's got a God, but he's dead.
Right.
But David was talking about a living God. One that David had felt. One that David was well acquainted with. Amen? When shall I come and appear before my God? Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. Now you're looking at David, a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. And it shows here, he says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's dealing with that same devil that you and I deal with.
That's right.
How many here has ever heard, where is thy God?
Yeah. That's right.
Probably hear it this week.
Yeah.
But you realize that we're looking at the same devil that David is looking at right now.
That's right.
You say David, a man after God's own heart? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
David was a man. He said, where is thy God? And continually that devil said that to him. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had done it with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Now David was going through a hard time. David was going through a hard time because verse 3 says that my tears have been my meat. Day and night, he was depressed. He was discouraged. He didn't know where God was. He didn't even know if God, he hadn't felt God in years. Maybe. He hadn't felt God in months. He hadn't felt God in days. And here he says, my tears are my meat. And continually they say unto me, where is thy God? Now notice what he done. He said, when I remember these things, whenever I begin to become discouraged. There's a lot here, saints. When I remember these things, look what David did. I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God. Can you bring this up on the screen here, please? Psalms 42, 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone to the with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. He was just like everybody else. We get such an attitude that we're going to church on Sunday mornings because it's our duty. It ain't your duty. It's your privilege. It's not your duty. It's your privilege. But he says, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Now notice his approach to his dilemma. Now remember in the previous verse, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. We're looking at a discouraged David. But look at his approach. He said, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. David didn't feel like it. David didn't feel like raising his hand, Brother Tony. David didn't feel like saying amen. You say, well, I'll say amen if I feel like it. David didn't. David didn't feel like it. That's not what I'm reading. I'm not reading that David had within him a want to do this. But he says, because in verse 3, remember, he was downhearted, but yet he went in there, and undoubtedly in his flesh, he didn't want to do it, but yet he said with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now notice, he's sitting in the congregation, and he's still dealing with because he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou
quieted within me. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He just said, why art thou cast down, soul? He didn't feel like it. He didn't want to. Is that what I read or not?
Amen.
He didn't want to. He didn't feel like it inside of himself. But yet he said, for I shall praise him for help of his countenance. What did he do? It showed self-sacrifice. God inhabits the praise of what? His people. Amen? Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Amorites from the hill of Mizar. Verse 7, deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God, unto the God of my life. Verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Look at the picture that David is painting. He's dealing with that same devil that you deal with. The same devil that you're dealing with right now. Huh? Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He said it again. And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Now look at his approach. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The enemy just said, where is thy God? He said, he is my God.
Yeah,
where is thy God? He is my God. Amen. He said, he is my God. He didn't feel like it. But yet there was something inside of David that he knew that that same God that delivered the giant into his hands was the same God in that valley as he was right here in this situation. He was the same God in the valley with Goliath as he was right here in this situation. God didn't change. David might have, but God didn't. God does not change. We do. But God does not. You say, Ben, why am I so depressed? Why am I so downtrodden? God never changed. You did. God didn't. And he's still your God. And he's still able to come and deliver you. But I ask you, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be delivered from that devil that binds you? You put your devil there. I don't know your hearts. But God does. God knows what you have need of. God knows what you've struggled with. God knows who your loved ones are that have fallen away. God knows their name. Just because somebody has left doesn't mean that the battle's over. It doesn't mean that it's over. But it just simply means you've got to go to work. You've got to go to work. But you know what the problem is? That four-letter word, nobody likes it. They don't like the W, they don't like the O, they don't like the R, they don't like the K. None of it. That word work, nobody likes it. They want God to come and do all of the work. God, I'll serve you if you'll do this for me. God can't be bought. Amen. God can't be bought. We've tried to buy him off. How many here has ever been guilty of saying, God, if you'll just do this, I'll do this? I'll be honest. How many said that? I have. I've tried to buy him off, but God won't be bought off. He said. He said he does. I don't have to buy him off. I don't have to buy God off. You don't have to buy God off. He thinks enough of you to come by and to take situation that you have and to take it under control without being bought off. Because he said, I don't have to buy him off. He said, only believe. He's not asking you to do anything except believing.
Amen.
Right. Amen. He's asking you to simply believe him. He don't need what you and I can offer him except our praise.
Amen.
He has to have that. That don't give you... whenever I said that, I thought, oh yeah, now you're giving them a right not to do nothing. No, he's got to have your praise. Because we just said it, he inhabits the praises of his people. You realize that you'll sit here and unless you create an atmosphere of worship, you'll leave here the same person. Well, you won't leave here the same person. Probably God said that you'll either leave here a better man or a worse man. Or a better woman or a worse woman. You're going to leave one way or the other. But we sit there and we think, you know, I just really didn't get nothing out of that service. Whose fault was that?
Yeah.
Whose fault? Brother Tony's. What'd you do to help Brother Tony? What'd I do? You know, we want to sack the preacher a lot. You ever been sacked? You ever been sacked, Brother Daniel? You're up here just preaching your heart out, and all of a sudden somebody comes in there and just boom! You're sitting there going, where'd that come from? You know what I'm talking about. You feel it. Somebody comes in there and in football, they're all the time trying to sack the quarterback. And somebody inevitably is trying to sack the preacher all the time. And somebody, you know how they sacked the quarterback? Because somebody wasn't guarding him. Somebody wasn't guarding the quarterback. He was the man with the ball. He was the man that had the ball. Whenever they say hike, that ball goes to that quarterback. And it's up to everybody to guard that quarterback. And then you got preachers out there saying, I wanted to carry the ball. It wasn't your time. It wasn't your time to carry the ball. But they'll sit there and they'll pout. Lord have mercy. No, sitting there, I wanted to do it. And instead of sitting there and say, you realize something, Brother Daniel, whenever you go somewhere and you preach, I can set the congregation and I can cover for you. I might not be the guy carrying the ball, but I'm going to cover for you because I know what you're dealing with up there. I know that you're dealing with a multitude of hell. Hello? You're dealing with the gates of hell. And I'm going to stand there and I'm going to guard him. Why? Because he's trying to deliver something to somebody in this congregation. And there's somebody that has a need and somebody's got to cover him. I can make a decision to sack you. Or I can make a decision to cover him. If I'm sitting in a congregation with him, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to cover the man. Why? Because he's got the ball and work for the team. You realize that there's men that he'll get, that he'll reach, that I'll never touch. And there's men that I'll reach that he'll never touch. There's men that he'll reach that neither one of us will ever touch. Why? God called Brother Daniel for a purpose. God called Brother Tony for a purpose. And God called me for a purpose. But we sit there and we say, well, I didn't get nothing out of it. No, because you was chasing the preacher. Huh? Come on now. Don't tighten up on me. No, because you was chasing the preacher. Stop chasing the preacher and start guarding the preacher. You realize that whenever you go to Brother Tony with a problem, you want Brother Tony to encourage you. Brother Tony has to be the man of encouragement. Has to say, you realize, Brother Daniel, you might have fell a on your face, but God didn't see it.
Keep pressing.
That's what you want Brother Tony to tell you. No, you let Brother Tony mess up.
Oh, I can't believe he done that. That makes me so mad. To think our pastor done that.
Yeah, so? He did. But you realize that the same God that can save me and forgive me can do the same for him?
We want to set him up here. You, sir, are not entitled to a mistake.
That's our mentality. And we'll send him hate mail. We'll send that hate mail because we didn't like what he said about me. Well, you just told on yourself because he would have never known if you hadn't sent him your little message. You realize that the only person that it bothers is the person that's dealing with it? Brother Tony, I can't believe you said that. Huh? We'd be better off keep our mouths shut and just pray for Brother Tony. Amen?
I use that at church too, and Brother Eric was sitting back there about to have jubilee.
You know? Amen!
But you know, we said it take a man and we set him so high. But yet we fail to see that he's just a man. You realize that before he gets out of this place, he'll fight a devil. If he ain't, then there's something wrong. He ain't doing something right if he ain't fighting. But we stand there and you realize that we are a group of believers. I'm quitting. We're a group of believers and we have got to come together. So easily, that devil will come in and he'll try to divide and separate. And if he can get a church divided, he will conquer that church. You say, man, I don't know about that. I do. I've seen it. I know. He will conquer that church. Why? Because he's got them divided. You got this one over here against this one, and this one over here against this one. But there's got to be a unity to come together amongst the bride. What was at the top, at the capstone? What was the capstone? It was love. It was love. And there's got to be that love amongst the bride. To where we're not continually, you know, always looking at somebody's failure, but instead of looking at the failure, looking beyond the failure and extending a hand of help and say, yeah, you might have failed, but you know what? I just came through that. I just came through that. You might have failed, but I've been there. Let me help you. Let me help you. Instead of, while they're down, kick them. Instead of that, reach out a hand and say, come up here. You realize that you can sit here and you can see and you can know whenever it's Brother Daniel's dealing with something. You might not know what it is, but yet by the way he carries himself and his countenance, you can tell there's something wrong. And whenever you sense that, there's something that you can do. You can go to bat. You can hit your knees and you can shake heaven for Brother Daniel or Brother Tony or this brother or this sister or this sister or this sister or this sister or that sister. But it's got to come together in unity. And there's got to be a thirst for God. Amen. Stand. kids this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, Father, and Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that, Lord, you came by tonight, Father, and Lord, you met us, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that, Lord, you would take these words, Father, that were spoken tonight, Father. Lord, if there was anything said, Father, that wouldn't be quite right, dear God, Lord, it's not my intentions, Father, Lord, that I would say anything wrong, dear God. I ask, Father, that, Lord, you would take it, Father, from the people's memories, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that, Lord, you would come, dear God, and, Lord, move, Father, amongst your people now, dear God. And Lord, would they get, Father, Lord, desperate for you tonight, Father. And Lord, I ask you, dear God, that, Lord, you would come, Father, and walk up and down the corridors of every heart that's represented tonight, Father. Take these words that were spoken, dear God, and Lord, would you apply it, Father, to the heart of the believer tonight, Father. And Lord, I ask, dear God, that you would just take them, Father, and place them, Father, Lord, in order, dear God. Lord, I know that, Lord, man has no capability within himself, dear God, but Lord, if you'll come, Father, and Lord, you'll set those words, Father, in order, then all things will be well, Father, Lord. And we know, dear God, you said that your word would not return unto your void tonight, Father. Lord, we're trusting in that tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these things. Bless this congregation, Father, and bless the pastor, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
receive Him tonight.
Amen.
You can receive Him in His Word. You know, it is the thirst that we have in our bodies. When we get thirsty, it's our body's way of crying out for something that it knows we need. And you know, you've heard the phrase, you can take a horse to water, you can lead him to water, but you can't what? And neither can you do that for people. Right? Nobody's going to receive anything until there's something inside them that says it's right. And you can't tell them it's right. But you can live a way that the Scripture refers to being salty. You can live in such a way that can cause them to be thirsty. This brother gave an example of that tonight, of how he lived before this other person who's now attending the church with him. He lived in such a way not to come up to him and say, here's a drink of water, here's a drink of water every day, because he wouldn't receive that. But he lived in such a way until the man became thirsty. And so then what happened? Inside him now is something that is thirsty and wants something. Right. And so then when you give it, it's received. And that's the way it works. And you can't make a person, you can't give a revelation, right? And so he mentioned there about how we need to take them to Christ, and that's true. You can't take William Branham to him, you can't take this, you can't take that. But you've got to live in such a way to the thirsty and then give them Christ Jesus. How many would like to have something that would be a weapon or whatever that Satan could not defeat? We'd love to have that, wouldn't we? The Bible says you have that. It's called revelation. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Right? That's what I want. I want something in my experience that the gates of hell cannot, the Scripture says, cannot prevail against. And we know what that is. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The revelation of the Word in your day. Who He is in your day. Because He's in you now, if you believe it. And it's that revelation Satan cannot defeat. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. If you got somebody you work with, you got somebody in your family, and they need God, what do you need to take them to? The same thing. The same thing. A living Christ. That's what you need to take to them, so you can't take them to a prophet, you can't take them to something else, but you have to take them to the living Word. And so you live in such a way it'll make them salty. Amen. So how many enjoy what you heard tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Brother, I love the way the Lord uses our brother and some of his ways of presenting things, and it's always a blessing to me, but he touched on so many things, you know, so many things, but I appreciate God sending that our way, and I'm looking forward to what He has for us in the morning, what the Lord will send, it is true, we need unity, among us, and I'm happy with the unity the Lord has given us. I know that it's in the crosshairs, it always has been, I know that, but I'm happy for brothers and sisters who have like precious faith and who have it in their heart that they are willing and desirous to dwell together. Yeah. I'm happy that you're willing to come and dwell together with us, and I'm happy to dwell with you. And it takes a special gift to do that. You know, it takes a special gift for a man and woman to come together in close proximity in marriage for year after year after year after year, and to still love one another and get along with one another and want to be with one another after many years. It's a special gift. It's called love. And so I know that for you to come and be willing to come here year after year, it's because you love us and we love you. And so I'm happy that's that way. I'm happy that the Lord has provided that for us, and we want to strive to maintain that. And the only way that'll ever be happened, that unity, is in the unity of the faith. It's not anything else. It's not in Brother Tony, Brother Daniel, Brother Tim. It's not anything like that, but it's unity of the faith in the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And so I thank the Lord for what He's done tonight. We will bow our hearts in prayer just for a moment. And I want to just remind you before we do that, you know, we're going to go and have just a time of fellowship at the house. Everybody is invited. If you don't know how to get there, just letting you know, I think everybody here pretty much probably does know, but we want you to come and fellowship with us for a little while. So let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word that you've sent our way. And I know, Lord, in many ways, our brother has spoken to each of our hearts, spoken to mine in many, many ways. Lord, I just pray that that as we go from this place tonight, Lord, that these things that were spoken to our heart, Lord, that you would water them, Lord, that they would be able to grow. Lord, that we realize that when you speak to us and show us something, that is an assignment, Lord, that you've given us. And because we see it, it's something we need to deal with. And I do ask God for that blessing upon this people tonight, Lord, that you would grant to them the ability to address in their life anything that you showed them tonight. We know, God, that you have given us that kind of grace in this hour, that you so abundantly want your children to be overcomers. So, Lord, tonight we just ask that you would bless them in that way. Give them strength as they go forth, Lord, to live this gospel that you've placed in their hearts. We ask for your blessings upon our fellowship as we go tonight. We pray that you keep us safe, Lord, and that tomorrow morning you would come. Meet us again in this place, delivering your special, precious word to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Tim will sing us another song real quick as we get ready to go. And you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Jehovah Jireh. Oh,